Welcome to a Talk Nation Radio special.
There were people injured because the police were kicking people.
My knees were a little banged up. I was kind of, people toppled over onto each other because the cops were pushing, and I was dragged out by the police after that.
I'm Dori Smith, and we're bringing you this special because of the nature of the news we're getting now from Cairo. A University of Connecticut graduate student and a Hartford, Connecticut teacher were beaten on the sidewalks of Cairo, Egypt, where they arrived as part of an international humanitarian group, the Gaza Freedom March. They were hoping to enter Gaza to join with some 50,000 people who were set to peacefully demonstrate there. Instead, as they tried to hold their Gaza Freedom March in solidarity with protesters all around the world from 42 countries, Egyptian police attacked them in downtown Cairo. We're joined first by Joanna L. Rivera. She had high hopes of getting into Gaza to march with other students there. Joanna, just tell us what's been happening to you in the streets of Cairo. I understand you're near Qaeda Square.
I'm good now, but this morning I was very upset and because the police. We decided to meet in Tahrir Square here in downtown Cairo in front of the Egyptian Museum. So we gathered before 10 a.m., all the activists were like scattered around the area. So we were in the middle of the street, chanting and with holding the signs and marching. And then the police came and they started to try to persuade the crowd to get out of the street because we have stopped the traffic. Then everybody got pulled together very tight and we sit on the street and we didn't want to move out of the street. But more police came and started pulling us, trying that we stand up, making us change our mind, and started pulling the men. First, they didn't have any, you know, approach to the woman, so I didn't feel that they were going to pull us. They pull a woman by the hair, they kick men, they hit people. They really, really, we had a hard time there. So then I stood up first. And then I was telling them I want to grab my stuff from my pocket. I don't want to lose my phone and my pictures and my camera. So they started yelling at me and they pushed me. So there was like a pile of people on the side of the street. And they threw me there. They pushed me there. So I fell off on top of other people. So people were like just trying to protect themselves with, you know, putting their hands on their face. But they were kicking people. I saw the police kicking some man in front of me. And I was trying to protect myself so they don't kick me too. And I started saying, like, respect the woman. Please respect the woman. We don't want any trouble. But they kept grabbing people and pulling them by the hair. And then they pushed us into the sidewalk. And they brought more police, more riot police. They kept us there. We were there for... There's still people there. We just came out. Because we are not allowed to use the toilet. So then people started, you know, to wanting to get to the toilet. So they started to come out of the area. So we came out like 2 hours ago. We've been trying to get some access to the news and to the internet. We came out like 2 hours ago. We're going to try to get in again.
Who were you with? I mean, because I think we were hearing that there were some students that wanted to protest in solidarity with students in Gaza.
We were just, people were scattered all over. So this was the international delegation. The people from all over, from France, Italy, Spain, Scotland, some of the Middle Eastern countries too. So we were all scattered, and then at 10 a.m. we ran to the middle of the street and started holding our signs and started chanting. I don't know how many, if there were some local people in the march, I couldn't tell, because there's many people who have dual citizenship and they speak Arabic, but they are not from here, from Cairo.
And were people able to make speeches? We were hearing some things about speeches. Also, we were hearing that a few people got roughed up badly enough that they were left bleeding. I guess some of the Egyptian police, security services, whoever they were, hit people with their nightsticks, or in one case, I think someone was hit with something else, a metal object. Someone had a cut on his face, but were there any other injuries?
Well, there were people injured because the police were kicking people. So I didn't see anybody bleeding, but, you know, I was also very anxious when I got out of the crowd. They just pushed us out on a pile of people, so I didn't get to see, I mean, other people. I was in a shock, so I didn't see anybody else bleeding. But I did see people with scratches and with some people crying and saying that they were.
And we've lost Joanna L. Rivera. We're going to try to get her back in a minute. And we'll also be hearing from Christopher Hutchinson, a Hartford, Connecticut teacher. He said he was treated in the same way. This audio was provided along with video by Sam Husseini, who is in Egypt, and he's with the Gaza Freedom March in the streets of Cairo, Egypt, where he filmed some very interesting footage. You can see the footage at Dandelion Salad, and we'll link to it on our website, talknationradio.org. We were able to reach University of Connecticut student Joanna L. Rivera again, and she went on to explain more about what had happened to her just a few hours ago as she was on the streets of Cairo. Joanna, you were saying that some people may have gotten hurt. Can you continue on from there?
Yeah, I said that there were people that I saw crying. People lost their stuff. Some people I saw with scratches. So, yeah, definitely a lot of people was hurt because we were all resisting. We were all sitting in the floor in the middle of the street.
We still don't have the best phone line, but we'll continue on. Would you say that some people would have gotten badly hurt enough to have need for a hospital?
Yes, I think so. I saw some men from the police kicking the people, from the protesters in front of me.
And can you say anything more about the people who were still there? Are they in custody or can they leave?
Yeah, the sidewalk is under the custody of the riot police.
So there may, in fact, still be some people in the custody of them.
Yes, yes, we are all surrounded by the police. It was like a big prison. We were all sitting because there was no place to, you know, like to walk around. We just had to stay still and people, and we're listening to the organizers for instructions.
And basically, where do you go from here, Joanna? Are you planning on staying in Cairo now, or what do you think you'll do on an immediate basis?
I think the plan was to keep the camp there, keep camping until tomorrow in that area that they had the people under custody. I don't know if I will be able to get in, but I'm planning to go back. But it's really very tiring and it's emotionally charged there. There's a lot of people crowded, can barely walk.
And are you able to still be in touch with everyone that you know from Connecticut?
Yeah, I bought a calling card, so I was able to call my mom at least and tell her that I was okay.
We were trying to get in touch, but have you heard anything about events in Gaza? Because I know Palestinians were also planning to march today.
Yeah, I saw in the news here that there were about 500 people marching. There was a small delegation from our big delegation. There were like 80 people there. But I heard it was highly also under the custody of the police.
What you're listening to is a crowd of members of the Gaza Freedom March in Cairo. What they're chanting is, "We are all Palestinians." And you can find that and other audio and video by Sam Husseini of the Institute for Public Accuracy, IPA. And it's up now on Husseini.posterous.com. We turn now to Christopher Hutchinson, a Hartford, Connecticut teacher. And he, too, is in Cairo with the Gaza Freedom March. In fact, he has been with Joanna L. Rivera of the University of Connecticut, both of them experiencing violence at the hands of the Egyptian police. First, Christopher, just tell us, are you okay?
Well, similar to Joanna, we were told to go down to Tahrir Square in kind of the heart of Cairo. And while we were there, a signal was given, and we converged onto the streets to have peaceful protest and march against the fact that we have not been allowed to assemble as an entire group in Cairo without police threats, and to demand that we be let into Gaza.
Are you okay? You know, did you see anyone get hurt, or are you hurt?
Thank you for asking, Dory. Personally, I'm okay. My knee's a little banged up. I was kind of people toppled over onto each other because the cops were pushing, and I was dragged out by the police after that and, you know, thrown aside. One gentleman was severely cut across his cheek and had a lot of blood coming out, and women also had talked about being, you know, groped and that sort of thing, as well as they were being pulled out of the pile, which we find all of this behavior is completely unacceptable. And all we're demanding is the right to deliver humanitarian aid and to be with our brothers and sisters inside Gaza.
What other kinds of things did you see go on in the streets of Cairo? I mean, were you seeing the same kinds of things that Joanna Rivera described?
Yes. At one time, we all sat down in the street, and once we sat down, the police moved in and started dragging people out, punching people, pulling women by the hair, you know, really tough, violent behavior. And people around us in the buses and the cars were shaking their hands in solidarity with us and waving and really happy to see us there supporting the people of Gaza.
And would you say that there are still people under arrest in Cairo? Also, I wanted you to comment on whether or not you've tried to reach any American authorities or anyone at the U.S. Embassy, or if you've tried to reach any representatives of Congress to talk about what's happening to American citizens in Cairo.
Yeah, there's been many delegations to the embassy, but so far they've been met with, one, outside the embassy, there's a big police blockade where they do not let us, don't even go close to the embassy. The French had protested outside of their embassy and tried to speak with delegates. But every time that we've sent a delegation to go speak with members of the embassy, we've been turned away, and they haven't taken up our cause in the least. I know before the trip, people had contacted Congress people and whatnot. I have not been a part of that on the trip as of now. I've been more involved in the French embassy, where they've put up a great kind of show of protest against their government. We went last night and painted a huge banner for today's march and sang traditional Palestinian songs and had a really great, you know, atmosphere in the heat of all this unrest in Cairo.
Now, all the protesters are there as part of a very peaceful and pacifist effort. There was no violence that you could see that had to do with protesters, right? I mean, it's a peaceful protest.
Not at all. We took to the street to make a point. There was no permit, but we all our permits have been revoked to assemble peacefully, and so we peacefully marched out onto the street. We did stop traffic. And we sat down on the ground, and the only violence came from the punches thrown from police officers to the back of people's heads. To, you know, like I said, they were pulling women's hair and just throwing them, you know, across the road. And after that, we set up a protest off to the side of the road where they kind of pushed us in and blocked us in. And
finally, I know that a lot of this for you has special meaning when it comes to students. You yourself are a teacher. What do you want to say to people listening to this who are interested in the world's young people? Because I know for you, this has been outreach between young people of America and the rest of the world with young people in Gaza.
Absolutely. I mean, in the classroom, I never tried to bring politics into the classroom. But before I went on this trip, we made postcards. Just the kids wanted, from probably sixth grade to eighth grade, wanted to show their solidarity with the people of Gaza and show, you know, they felt it was unfair that a wall was being built around these people and that they couldn't get any supplies, and that we were going there to bring them school supplies and medical supplies. And they made probably over 200 really beautiful postcards that said "Free Gaza," that said talked a little bit about themselves and gave the Arabic greeting of "Assalamu alaikum" on the cards, and were really, really powerful for me to see them go through this process and to understand, you know, what was happening to these people in Gaza and in the West Bank. So they really connected with it and took it up, and a lot of them, especially students in the inner city, face similar things. They face checkpoints and blockades by police and harassment by police on a regular basis. So for my students who you know, are living in the cities, there was a personal connection for them with it as well.
And Christopher Hutchinson, if you could speak to a U.S. representative right now, someone in Congress or someone in government under the Obama administration, what would your message be about this effort and the meaning of what you're trying to do? I know the U.S. has called on Israel to stop building settlements. Israel, in response, once again, said that they would be building 700 apartments in East Jerusalem. Meanwhile, the settlers are still apparently not well restricted when they enact criminal behavior in the occupied territories. What is your message to the Obama administration?
Well, I would say to them, first of all, the Egyptian wall that was being built along the Rafah border that was going to be under the ground to cut off the tunnels that aid the Gazans, the way they get their food in and out, supplies into Gaza, that wall that was being built was with the help of American engineers and money. So it continues to go on both sides of the border, not just Israel, but also Egypt. And I'd have to say to the people in power here, stop funding these efforts to literally create an apartheid state and crush the people of the West Bank and Gaza, Palestine, and to remove all U.S. aid. But in my opinion, I don't feel that our Congress people will ever do that until we get people in power who represent the working people and students of this country and not represent businesses that make millions off deals with, you know, Israel. And so I would ask them, first and foremost, to cut all aid and funding to Israel.
Now, what about the government of Egypt? Do you think that protesters should be better protected? And if so, what can the U.S. government do to achieve that and maybe contact the Egyptian government?
Well, I think the U.S. government made their message loud and clear by stationing huge police trucks around their embassy here. It was not a welcoming environment. The message was that we do not want to hear about any of your efforts and what you're doing, and we're not in support of you. And I think it's also clear that our engineers, military engineers, are assisting in building the wall to cut off supplies to Gazans. I think that the embassy has done, the U.S. has done a terrible job in respecting the rights of its citizens in a foreign country and assisting them in getting them closer to our goal of delivering humanitarian aid. You know, when you think about it, it's absolutely mind-blowing.
And what would you say to people who complain that what you're doing is some sort of security risk? I know that there has been some violence. A settler was killed. It came after some months when we were receiving letters from Ridgely Fuller, a Boston social worker, and she was telling us that the settlers were just attacking Palestinians at will and that the Israeli Defense Force in the region was asked to protect Palestinians and refused to do so. And so ultimately, the death of a settler, while reprehensible comes as no surprise given what was going on between Palestinians and settlers who really had no business going into the Palestinian region with ill intent.
Right. My belief is that it should be one state, you know, a democratic, secular Palestine, and that the people who are the colonial settlers who are there are acting in a, you know, are the ones on the attack, that the Palestinians have every right to defend themselves. While it is deplorable that someone had to die, I believe in the right to self-defense, and that if they're being attacked, especially being pushed off their land, I think they have every right to defend themselves any way they can. I think the more reprehensible action is that taken of the colonial settlers.
And is there what you would call a reasonable solution right now? It seems as if with this new violence between settlers and Palestinians and new attacks by Israel, rocket attacks that have killed six Palestinians that we know about in the last week or two, is there still a way that the spirit of the Gaza Freedom March on both sides, you know, in Gaza and within all of the other locations that this effort is going on, is there still hope that you can build a new way of approaching this that has to do with opening the border to peace and aid?
Well, I think it starts with working people, and I think it starts here. We got word, I think mentioned last time, that the workers who were building the wall on the border of Rafah, the Egyptian workers, refused to build it. And I think the key is that Israeli workers and Egyptian workers and Palestinians and Gazans and people living in the West Bank need to realize that they have more in common with each other than they do with their government. And when they realize that, then they can begin to work together to take out of power these governments that have been so treacherous to their people, whether it's Mubarak or Netanyahu, whatever. And I think that's the one possibility where we can have a solution that ends all of this horrible violence.
Christopher Hutchinson, I know that families are worried back here at home and worried about you both, you and also Joanna L. Rivera, a University of Connecticut student who was also shoved to the ground. Can you say more about what your plans are? When do you plan to be home, and how can we know you're okay?
Well, we'll be home. We're flying out of here on the 10th of January. We're going to make some other trips around the region before the 10th. And myself, I have a blog at generalstrikecomics.com, and you can check out the site that says Gaza Freedom Blog, and I'll have updates on there, and you'll be able to see that we're okay, you know, relatively okay. I have to say that the people of Cairo have been wonderful. Everywhere we go, they show support and solidarity with us and what we're doing. And it is really just the government that is treating us this way. And it's not just the Egyptian government, but like we said before, the French, the U.S., and many of the other countries that are here. The governments are absolutely involved with what's going on.
Christopher Hutchinson in Cairo with others from Connecticut. He's with the Gaza Freedom March. Next, a clip from The Guardian magazine.
Prime Minister said some good activists chosen and will be going with the bus, and some bad activists who are bringing trouble will be outside. And we will not accept this situation and this explanation. That's why we left the bus and we decided not to go and to stay here to protest them, because Egyptian government is part of this crime.
Over 1,400 people from 42 different countries trying to get into Gaza. A Moroccan-Italian member of the delegation is in the hospital after being punched in the face, according to Medea Benjamin of the group Code Pink, helping to promote the Gaza Freedom March. For Talk Nation Radio, I'm Dori Smith. This program produced in Storrs, Connecticut. TalkNationRadio.org for transcripts, audio, and discussions.